I think it's really neat that we sung a song this morning that Martin Luther wrote and sang. I did a Reformation history tour through Germany about 6 years ago, and we went through and followed some of the footsteps of Martin Luther, and his is a fascinating story, a very fascinating story. And I think it's really neat when we can sing some of those songs that were sung hundreds and hundreds of years ago, that believers back then were encouraged by the words there too. And I think that shows the distance that God's hope goes throughout all the ages. And song is a special way to do that. Last Sunday on January 27, there was a three-year-old boy named Casey Hathaway. And Casey was at his grandmother's home in North Carolina. And he was playing there with some other little boys. And just 6 days ago, Casey wandered off into the woods right as some really nasty weather started to roll into North Carolina. Heavy winds, heavy rain, and Casey was dressed not for winter time. Didn't have a jacket or anything. And when they realized that little Casey was missing, they sent out for the rescue crews, and they sent out canine units, helicopters, drones, divers. I guess there might have been lakes in the areas. Hundreds of volunteers looking for little Casey Hathaway, 3 years old. 3 days later, they heard reports of a baby crying, and they found little Casey tangled up in a thicket. He was cold and wet, but he was okay. The temperatures had dropped down into the 20s. During the time he'd been out in the woods. And they looked at this little boy and thought, how is he still alive? And so they asked him, he's 3 years old, he has an opinion, he can talk. And they said, Casey, how did you survive out there? What did you do out in the woods this whole time? And this is what he said, quote, I hung out with a bear for 2 days, end quote. I don't know about you, but if I was a parent and I heard that my three-year-old boy hung out with a bear for 2 days, my jaw would be on the floor almost as it is now. I hung out with a bear for 2 days, he said. I hung out with a bear for 2 days. Now, there's lots of bears in North Carolina. I've seen them. I've been backpacking in North Carolina, seen these black bears. There's wild boars and such out there as well. But in my mind, as soon as I read this story and I kind of started playing this picture in my mind, did God send this bear to take care of this little three-year-old boy? This bear didn't touch this kid in harm. And he must have cuddled up with this bear, every little three-year-old's dream, right? To sleep and snuggle up, and he's got his own bear rug, a live one, to keep him alive at night and to keep him warm. How cool of a story is this? This little three-year-old boy, Casey, needed some help. And God sent help. You see, sometimes in our lives, we need a little help as well, don't we? And just like with little Casey, God is eager to send us help. In fact, there's someone that he named even the helper that he promised to send to help us. In John chapter 16, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16. I've always called this chapter the job description of the Holy Spirit, at least the first portion, because we find out a lot about what the Holy Spirit does in John chapter 16, don't we? And this is Jesus speaking. My Bible's got red letters here, which indicates that this is first person from Jesus. John chapter 16, and verse 7, John chapter 16 and verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, that might be kind of hard to understand. Wouldn't it be much better to have Jesus right here? But Jesus says, and we have to trust him because he says, this is the truth. He says, I promise you, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, capital H, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. This is the best help that we could ever get. Because every which way we turn, we are faced with the truth and a lie. And where does the lie come from? Satan. We have to acknowledge his existence. As much as people today kind of think, well, yeah, fairy tale, oh, that can't be, we don't want to talk about that. We have to acknowledge that there is good and that there is evil, that there is truth and that there is a lie. And God says, I'm going to send you someone, I will call them the helper, and the helper will help you find the truth. That's the best thing he could have sent us, isn't it? To find the truth. When you open your Bible to study, I would encourage you to ask for the helper to guide you in all truth. Because there's lots of different ways that people have interpreted what's in this book. They've interpreted them the correct way, and they've slaughtered the interpretation at the same time in the same book. We need heavenly and divine instruction as we study the Holy Scriptures. And God promises to send us a helper. Turn over just a few pages to the beginning of the book of Acts. I love this. Everyone says you shouldn't have favorites. I have a favorite. This is one of my favorites, the book of Acts. It's a fantastic and inspiring book. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Let's take a look at this one really quick. Again, this is Jesus. But you shall receive, what's that next word? Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth, even into Franktown, it might say, if they wrote it today. What Jesus is saying here specifically has to do with witnessing and sharing your faith. Now, we've talked a little bit about this in the last month or so because we have this Bible study series with John Bradshaw coming up. It's a little intimidating sometimes to talk about Jesus to people. It's a little scary sometimes to bring up spiritual topics. Sometimes we even avoid it if we can because we're not in the mood to do that. Ever ridden on an airplane before? You've heard all those airplane stories? You're going to hear another one today in a little bit. People have tons of airplane stories about, I shared my faith on an airplane. Not a lot of people like to share their faith on an airplane. A lot of people just like some peace and quiet on the airplane. Sometimes we avoid witnessing even sometimes. But the struggle is, well, maybe I don't know what I would say to somebody. I don't know how to do it right. What if I mess it up and it turns them off? Here's the beauty of God. He wouldn't ask us to do something unless he would be willing to help us and prepare us to do it. He's not going to just throw you out there. There's a, I like John Wayne movies, old John Wayne movies. And in one of these John Wayne movies, John Wayne has a little, like a 7 or 8 year old kid right there, and they're right by this creek. And the creek is a pretty deep creek. And John Wayne tells him to go across the creek and get something. He says, well, mister, I can't swim. He says, you can't what? He says, I can't swim. I never learned how to swim. John Wayne doesn't say one more word. He grabs the boy by the back of his trousers, grabs him by the back of his collar, and John Wayne was a big guy, 6'4", and he tossed this kid out in the middle. And the kid's screaming. And eventually he comes and swims back. God prepares us, though. He doesn't just toss us. He prepares us and promises to be with us as we do what he's asked. So, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had finally come, they were all in one accord. Pentecost, this is an interesting word. It comes from the adjective meaning 50th, a reference to the 50 days between the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the First Fruits. Pentecost. And it says they were in one accord in one place. What does that mean? It means that they had grown a little bit from the past. It means that they weren't arguing anymore about who was going to be seated on the right hand of Jesus. It means that they'd gotten over the idea that none of them would wash each other's feet. They put these personal things aside. They weren't striving for high places or honor anymore. They were one together in focus and serving Jesus and sharing his gospel and his hope and saving message with the people around them. Verse 2, and suddenly, in this one place, there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, this group here has been commissioned by Jesus to tell the whole world. This is a huge job, by the way, to tell the whole world about him. This isn't a very big group. And the world is a very big place. And he is commissioning them to do big things. And he is now preparing them to do these big things. And in this room, they hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it fills the whole house where they were sitting. In verse 3, it says, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. We'll talk about that in just a second, but I want to talk about the fire for a second. The fire, it said, there appeared to be tongues of fire over their heads. Everywhere I see in Scripture the presence of God, there seems to be something associated with fire, doesn't there? Back to the story of Manoah, Samson's dad. You remember that? He came out in the field. God came out on the field and said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be special. They realized this was a heavenly being. They made an altar. They had the sacrifice, and it says God went up in the fire. What did Elijah get taken up to heaven in? A chariot of fire. Isaiah chapter 6, when it describes the seraphim, the angels that minister in the presence of God, the ones with six wings. Did you know they have six wings? Seraphim, these are the ones that minister in the absolute presence of God. It says, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. These angels are called seraphim, which means the fiery ones, because they minister in the presence of Jesus. What happens when we're cleansed? In the refiner's fire. That's God taking away all the stuff in our life that doesn't need to be there, refining us. A lot of times in the Bible when God is there, and we could go back, the pillar of fire, when they're up on the mountain, all these different things associated with God and fire, and we see here again the Holy Spirit coming, they see a visible flame almost, a fire, representing the coming of the Holy Spirit and the wind coming as well. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues in the Spirit as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's talk about that for a second. I went to a Pentecostal church. Now, where do you think they get the word for the name of their denomination? Right here in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, right? And the idea of speaking in tongues comes from the same chapter that the church is named after. Wonderful people, Pentecostals, they're fantastic. I went to a Pentecostal church when I was about 21 years old. A friend of mine did business with a gentleman who was a Pentecostal, and he had come into Chattanooga for some business, and he said, hey, you guys want to go Sunday morning and see what a Pentecostal church looks like? And we said, sure. My roommate and I both were like, sure, we'll go. So we put on our suits. We had no idea what to expect, and we went into this Pentecostal church, and people were very warm and welcoming, and we went into their Sunday school, and they had a Bible study and everything, and afterwards, they had some prayer at the end, and everybody knelt down. You know, they had the chairs, and you kind of kneel down in the chairs, and it started in English. And then I wasn't sure what happened. I heard all kinds of different things, and people were praying at the same time. And you know, some of that's maybe cultural, where we take turns praying, and I don't know. But everybody's praying at the same time, and I didn't understand anything that was going on. And I kind of peeked over at my roommate, and he was like, whoa. And everything ended, and somebody said amen, and that everybody knew, and they got up, and we went into the church service. And it was a very nice church service, and they had prayer time, and the same thing happened. It just was pandemonium as everybody prayed together. I'd never experienced that before. And a lot of people have asked me, they said, Pastor Jamie, what about praying in tongues? What is that? Because I couldn't understand anything that these people were saying. I am familiar with several other languages that are spoken in countries around the world, and none of that sounded familiar at all. Nothing. So what about speaking in tongues? What does this mean when it says here that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances? We're going to see what it means here in the next few verses. Come with me to verse 5 in Acts chapter 2. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And I will say, it's fascinating when you get to hang out with people from a lot of different backgrounds. I was doing evangelism with the conference, with the youth kids in the conference in Costa Rica. And Costa Rica is a beautiful place, but when you preach in a church in Costa Rica, you've got people from all over the very unique different blends. Because you've got the Native Americans with the the people from Spain that came over, but then you've got the Caribbeans, and then you've got North Americans, and you've got Northern Europeans, and everybody's kind of just come together, and it's a really, really exotic mix when you preach at a church down there. It's really cool. And here, it's something like that. We've got people from all over the place here in Jerusalem. Every nation under heaven, it says. And then this sound occurred. The multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. The apostles were preaching the message of Jesus Christ. They were doing what Jesus had asked them. They were fulfilling the gospel commission to share Jesus with everybody. But you've got a whole bunch of people there who speak different languages. Now, have you ever been to another country where you don't speak the language? It's a little frustrating, isn't it? You're like, I'm not sure what that means. Anybody speak English? It's a little frustrating when you can't understand what's going on, right? You have the language barrier. And here, God took away the language barrier for the gift of the gospel. And here, he gives them the gift of what we call in the Bible tongues. Because as they spoke to a big congregation, everybody heard the word of God in their own language. Now language is fascinating. I love studying languages. I learned to speak enough Thai when we lived in Thailand to get by. A lot of it's gone now, but we could get by. We could order food. We could tell the taxi driver where to go. I could listen to the radio and kind of understand. It was such a hard language, and my revert language was Spanish because I grew up in San Diego, and it was just harder then to throw a third language in there. I remember talking to a taxi driver. Aaron and I were in a taxi, and I tried to speak Thai to the guy, and I mixed Spanish with Thai. And nobody knew what anybody was saying. Aaron looked at me like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know. I'm trying to say this. Languages are fascinating. Fascinating. When you can understand that people that speak like 5, 6, 7 languages are some of my heroes. It's so cool to be able to speak all those languages. Well, here, what the Holy Spirit did here for these apostles was he gave them the gift of language. So that as they went around and spoke his word, people could hear in their own language. Now, here's a thought to think about. Do you think that God only gave them this gift for this verse right here? I don't think so either. I don't think so either. But that's a pretty big thought to think about. If this was a gift the Holy Spirit gave them for the rest of their lives in ministry, how awesome is that? We know that the apostles went all over the world as missionaries. They didn't have time to sit down and learn the language, did they? They were out sharing the message, and the Holy Spirit was doing amazing work and helping them. Verse 7 says, they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, all these different places, Egypt, Cyrene, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And then there were some people that mocked them and said they're drunk. Now, I've never, ever heard of a situation where people get smarter as they drink. Never. Because it doesn't happen that way. So Peter goes on and he shares. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. My men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above." And it goes on to say in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Joel promised it by inspiration of God that amazing things would happen with his people as they witnessed before he came. And Peter here goes through and shares this. And in his speech, everyone was still hearing it in their own language. And this is important for them to go out and be missionaries. It's in India. I took a group to India probably 12 years ago, a mission group. A bunch of kids, we did evangelism, they preached, we did songs. It was an awesome trip. And as I was doing the research on this trip, I found that there was a group of Christians that lives in southern India. Now, India is not known for being a Christian nation, right? Hinduism, a little bit of Buddhism, but mostly Hinduism. And there is a pocket of Christianity in southern India that has been there a very, 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 very long time. And do you know what they say, how they heard about Jesus? Their story is that a long time ago, a man named Thomas came to India and told them about Jesus. And Thomas would be the Thomas the disciple, the doubting Thomas. I think maybe we should call him Missionary Thomas instead of Doubting Thomas. That's a rough, Doubting Thomas is such a rough name to get hung with for the next 2,000 years, isn't it? Missionary Thomas. I checked it out. Mark Finley said, "Yeah, that's true." I checked it out with Mark Finley. He's like, "Yeah, that's true." Thomas was a missionary that went and made it all the way to southern India and shared the gospel down there. God gave these guys special gifts in language for sure, but in other ways I'm sure as well, to share the message of Jesus with everyone they came in touch with. These men were not equipped to speak all these languages, but Jesus equipped them. The Holy Spirit stepped in and made them fully prepared to share the message of Jesus. So all these people heard it back here with the apostles, verse 36, chapter 2. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has come and made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what then shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" As we give our lives to Jesus, Jesus empowers us and gives us special gifts that we never even knew we had to share our faith with other people. Now, as I mentioned, bringing up religious topics and sharing your faith is kind of an intimidating thing sometimes. And a lot of times we feel unprepared. What would we say? How would we even get into a situation where we could bring this up? Friends, let God take care of that. You don't have to worry about that. That's why he's sending the Holy Spirit to help you. It's no different now than it was back then. There's a sheet of paper. I'm going to have our deacons, if they could pass this sheet of paper out here. I was going to put them up on slides, but I want you to have a copy of these quotes to take home with you. Tuck them in your Bible and be reminded of these quotes. They'll be passed out to you here in just a second. There are a lot of reassuring quotes that remind us that when we share our faith, we're not doing it solo. We are working together with not only the Holy Spirit, but with holy angels from heaven. as we share the love of Jesus with the people around us. This is one of the biggest privileges. You guys can go ahead and start passing them out. Just pass them down the aisles. Everyone can take one. I think we have enough copies for everyone to have one. I've got 9 quotes here that I want to go over with you together to encourage you as you consider sharing your faith with somebody else. What I would love to see more than anything is to have a church prepared to ready to give an answer to someone who has a question. The Bible tells us, be ready in season and out of season to share your faith, share the reasons for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus, right? And so what I want to do is to help prepare each one of us and encourage each one of us for whenever God opens that door for us, we're ready. We are ready to share our love and hope in Jesus. All right, we have a few more rows, and then we'll go through some of these quotes together. These are some fantastic quotes. The bulk of them are from a book called Acts of the Apostles, which is the same name as the book we've been reading through right here, a commentary on the book of Acts. And if you still need one, raise your hand. Raise your hand. We've got a couple right over here. All right, we've got some right over here. Perfect. Okay. The first one. This comes from Acts of the Apostles, page 47. He instructed his disciples regarding a most essential and complete gift which he was to bestow upon his followers. The gift that would bring within reach the boundless resources of his grace. The Savior was pointing forward to the time when the Holy Spirit would come to do a wimpy work. What is that word? A mighty work as his representative. So see, God has huge plans for you to do a mighty work. He says he's going to give you power. Now, power, sometimes that has a negative connotation when somebody's power hungry. But this is it's not a negative thing here when God talks about the Holy Spirit giving you power. He's giving you skill. He's giving you wisdom in what to say and sometimes what not to say even. But he promises to do a mighty work. So the second one, the Lord spoke through them and they went from place to place. So mightily can God work when men give themselves up to the control of his Spirit. They went around and as they shared their faith in Jesus, God did mighty things. And she says the same thing will happen to you and me when we follow in the footsteps of these apostles and share our faith with other people. The third one, Christ declared that the divine influence of his Spirit was to be with his followers all the way until the end. We are guaranteed that the Holy Spirit will still be here to lead us, to guide us in truth, and to help us as we witness. Four, the more closely believers have walked with God. I love this one, by the way. The more closely believers have walked with God, the more clearly and powerfully they have testified of their Redeemer's love and of his saving grace. The closer we become to Jesus, the more powerful our witness is. Five, the lapse of time has wrought no change in Christ's parting promise to send the Holy Spirit as his representative. Six, since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach on it concerning it? The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who serve him than parents are to give good gifts to their kids. Don't you like doing good things for your kids? I love to give stuff to my kids, to see the smile on their face, to get a big hug, maybe a kiss on the cheek. I love to do things good for my kids. And here she says, God is even that much more willing to send his Holy Spirit to us to expand our influence for him. Number seven, in many places, consecrated men and women may be seen communicating to others the light that has been made plain to them, the way of salvation through Christ. And as they continue to let their light shine, as did those who were baptized with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they receive more and still more of the Spirit's power. Number eight, but unless the members of God's church today have a living connection with the source of all spiritual growth, they will not be ready for the time of reaping. Unless they keep their lamps trimmed and burning, they will fail of receiving added grace in times of special need. Those only who are constantly receiving fresh supplies of grace will have power proportionate to their daily need and their ability to use that power. And here's a bonus quote at the very end. This one comes from a compilation book called The Truth About Angels, which is a fantastic book, by the way. This is your bonus quote for the Sabbath. It says, "Heavenly angels watch those who are seeking for enlightenment." There are people in our sphere of influence who are searching for Jesus. They're searching for hope. They're searching for something bigger. And she says, "Heavenly angels are watching those who are seeking for enlightenment. They cooperate with those who try to win souls for Christ." Maybe you've been on a team before where you've had some good teammates. You've never had teammates like this, though. We have the opportunity and the privilege to partner with angels in the salvation of souls for Jesus. And we have the promise that angels will work by our sides as we serve our Lord and Savior. My brother Danny couldn't be here today. He's not feeling well, but I have his permission to tell this story. I don't usually ask permission to tell stories about my brother because I'm a younger brother, and I'll just tell it anyways. But I have permission to tell this story today. My brother travels a lot for work, and so he flies quite a bit. And he was flying from, I believe, Las Vegas to San Diego on this particular day. And he was sitting in the area where you get in line, you know, everybody's waiting right at the gate. And there was a gentleman, and we all do this, so I don't feel bad telling the story. We all kind of look around and we're like, "Boy, I hope I don't sit next to that person. I hope I sit next to that person over there." Or, you know, you kind of look and be like, "All right, who am I gonna be sitting by?" And we kind of look and see, you know, we judge a little bit. And my brother had done that, because there was a gentleman in the airport, and this gentleman was a big man. And that makes flying a little tough when you're sitting next to a big person. And this person had sweatpants on that were hanging on for dear life and not winning. And it looked like he hadn't bathed in a couple weeks. And he didn't have a nice carry-on with wheels on it. He had a trash bag slung over his shoulder. And my brother thought, "Oh man, I hope I'm not sitting next to this guy." Which every single one of us would have probably thought the same thing. So my brother gets on first, goes and sits in his seat. And you know the drill. You look down the aisle and you're like, "I wonder if it's going to be them." They walk past, you're like, "Whew." Everyone's done that. A little bit of judging by the outward appearance. And so here comes the guy with the trash bag. And he walks right up to my brother's row, and he stops. And my brother, okay, yeah, you know, polite, and lets the guy in. And immediately he said, "I did not want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to talk to this guy. I put my Bose headphones on with the noise-canceling thing, turned those things on, noise-canceling." So there he is. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He wanted to do some reading. So he had Steps to Christ. Pulls out his Steps to Christ and starts reading. Wants some just a nice alone devotional time. Pretty soon he gets a little... The guy's tapping him on the shoulder. And outwardly he's polite. Inwardly he's like, "Oh, come on." So he pulls his headphones off and he says, "Yeah?" And the guy looks at him and he says, you know a guy named Danny Shelton?" My brother's like, "What? Danny Shelton is the president of Three Angels Broadcasting Network, an Adventist television station." He says, do you know Danny Shelton?" My brother's like, "Yeah? What?" He says, "Well, I saw your book and I've been with my dad for the last 3 weeks. My dad lives in a trailer here in Las Vegas, and he's been dying of cancer." He said, "We have a TV in the trailer, but the only channel we get is 3ABN. And so for the last 3 weeks, all we've been watching is 3ABN and Danny Shelton and all these different programs and things." and he said, I've always just been wondering what's going to happen to my dad when he dies. I've really been struggling with that in the last 3 weeks. My brother pulls his headphones off, pulls his Bible out, and he said, I realized right then that God was trying to use me and that God kind of had to kick me a little bit to get me to be agreeable to do that. But God had totally set that up. And my brother, for the 45-minute flight or whatever it is from Las Vegas to San Diego, broke open his Bible and did a Bible study with this man on what happens when somebody dies and shared peace with this man, told him that he didn't have to worry about his dad burning anywhere or looking down on him from anywhere, that he was going to be resting in the grave until Jesus comes to call his name. And he said, the peace I saw on this guy's face when we were done, he said, I made a point to start listening more to the Holy Spirit. Because God sets up these appointments. God opens doors for us, wanting to use us. Are we willing to be used and engage in that kind of conversation? A lot of times it's awkward because so many people look down so much on religion now that we're almost a little nervous to bring up God. But we have to remember that God is working on people's hearts in places we have no idea of. God is connecting with people and convicting. The Holy Spirit just doesn't work on us in this church. The Holy Spirit is convicting people of truth all over this planet. And he might be preparing somebody that he needs you to connect with. Are you going to be willing to sit down and do that? Study with them to encourage them. There's a book. It's a fantastic book called Studying Together. Anybody ever seen this book called Studying Together? By Mark Finley. You're about to have your own copy here in a minute. Because this is one of the best books for witnessing and sharing your faith that I've ever seen. This came out in 1988, if I'm not mistaken. 91. My dad should know since he published it and printed it. And there's a foreword by Dan Houghton in the front if you read through here. He worked on this project with Mark Finley in 1991. And I worked for my dad back in the shipping department there. I've mailed hundreds of thousands of these books all over the world. This is a new revised printing that just came off a couple months ago. And so there's been some tweaking on this. This is one of the best resources for learning how to share your faith that's out there. Mark Finley goes through in this book, and deacons, if we can go ahead and start passing these out, maybe, I think we've got enough copies. Basically, I want every family to have one of these so that you can be, it's nice and slim, you can slip it right in your pocket, it can fit in your purse. It's one of the most valuable tools for sharing your faith that I've ever seen. And Mark has done a fantastic job in putting into a simple format ways where you can go in and get answers to tough questions in the Bible. For instance, section one, it's called Bible Studies for You to Share. And these are like a page, page and a half. And a page, page and a half on a little book like this, it's not that big a deal, right? So it's not overwhelming. It's perfect in the amount of information that it shares. And it goes through all the basic core Bible beliefs here. Then section two is on practical Christianity. How can I become a Christian? Discovering truth, et cetera, facing fear. Short little Bible studies on these topics. Then section three, which I think, and this is the final section, which I think is a very valuable section here. It's called Understanding Churches, Denominations, and Other Religious Groups. Because inevitably, if you're sharing your faith with somebody from a different background, you want to know a little bit about the background you're working with, right? And so here we have these different sections. Like, for instance, if you're studying the Bible with a Jewish individual, you want to know that they really don't believe in Jesus. They believe in the first five books of the Bible, right? But as far as Jesus, not so much. He's not really the Messiah. And so it helps you work through how to approach somebody like that with the Holy Scriptures. And so this, I wanted each one of your families to have one of these as a tool for you to keep near in case you come across an opportunity to share your faith. You could keep it in your car. If someone has a question, you can go right here really quick, look up the scriptural verses, and it'll tell you exactly the answers from the Bible that you need in order to share your faith. I think we have one over here, a couple in the back. If you haven't gotten one, raise your hand if you would like one. We have I think, quite a few more of these. Okay, he'll come right over. Raise your hand high if you would like another one. Here we go. You can have this copy. I've got one here. But take a look at this book this weekend and read through, because this, I believe, will help prepare you to share the love of Jesus in a very simple way. And it's nice because you can always have it close by. I keep one of those in my briefcase all the time, just so I have these scriptural references right with me all the time. And spend some time just flipping through it this afternoon. And I believe that this can be an excellent tool for you as you look for the Holy Spirit to open doors and opportunities for you to share your faith. My friends, as we close today, I want to remind you of the privilege that we have to serve Jesus, to work alongside of God's holy angels for the salvation of God's people. Friends, the Bible says in Matthew 24:14, as soon as the gospel has gone to the whole world, then the end will come. And what that means is, as soon as we've shared the love and the hope and the salvation in Jesus with every person on this planet, then the green light happens and Jesus comes to take us home, because he's fair and he wants everyone to have the opportunity to make a decision for him. It's up to us to be a part of that great gospel commission, to follow in the footsteps of these giants in spirituality in the book of Acts, and to work alongside those same angels, and to be privileged with working with the Holy Spirit and pointing people to Jesus. Friends, we have a huge privilege here at the Franktown Church to be able to partner with the Helper and being a shining light for Jesus in this community. I hope that this little book studying together will be a useful tool to you. I hope that it'll bolster your courage in having some Bible answers to share with people that will point them to Jesus. More than anything, we need to be prepared day in and day out to share the faith that we have in Jesus and the hope that we have in Jesus with the people around us. That is God's commission to every single one of us. And when God opens a door, if the door looks too big, remember that's because God's fitting some angels and the Holy Spirit to go through that door with you. And he will be with you every step of the way. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up. Our closing song is "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And when God opens those doors, we have to trust that Jesus will be with us, that the Holy Spirit will be with us, and guide our mouths and lips. Let's stand together as we sing, "Tis So Sweet." I want to challenge you today to pray a tough prayer. To pray that God will send the Holy Spirit to use you, and that he'll open up a door somewhere for you to share your faith with somebody else. That's our mission as Christians. That is our mission as Christians, to be a shining light for Jesus. Before he went back to heaven, Jesus gave us one clear commission. Go to the whole world, baptize people in my name, so they can be with me in my kingdom. And don't be surprised when God answers that prayer and you're standing there facing an opportunity to witness for Jesus. Be bold. Stand up for Jesus and speak on his behalf, because the person you're speaking to is one of God's children who he loves very much. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, you gave each one of us a commission before you went to heaven. Lord, give us boldness and courage to share your hope, your forgiveness, and your future with the people we come in contact with. Lord, give us good timing in our sharing. Give us wisdom, God, when to say something, when not to say something. We're relying on you, God, to equip us to witness for you. And we thank you so much, God, for sending the Holy Spirit and your holy angels to be by our sides as we endeavor to follow your instructions. Lord, we know we can't do it without you, And so we're thankful and we're counting on you to be by our sides as we witness and share our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.